Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
I've got a couple things in my heart, and I'm going to kind of slide right down here and talk to you this morning. Is that all right? I don't have a sermon per se. I just got a couple thoughts on my heart that I wanted to share with the house. And you guys turn to Luke 15. Sarah, do me a favor and grab a mic up there and take your Bible because you're going to read that long. We're going to read a long passage of Scripture. How about the married couple thing we did? That was pretty good, right? I felt like Jesus was on that, didn't you? Although you can go wherever you want, I don't care. Luke 15, we're going to start in verse 11. You can sit down, stand, do whatever you want to do. You guys there? You there?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Verse 11, and he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with his loose living. Verse 14. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. Verse 17, but when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and he ran and embraced him and kissed him. Verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. Verse 24, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again, and he was lost and has been found, and they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing, and he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. Verse 28, but he became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth and with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found.
Can you say amen to the reading of the word? All right, this is it's a familiar story. You all know the story. You've heard it before. It's been preached 1,000 times. I just wanted to share some things out of my heart that God has been talking to me about. But by way of background, just to talk about the story here for a moment, we got the story basically of three sons here, right? We have this younger son, and he's a bit selfish, right? And we have he gets some money, and he wants it all now. And he runs off, and he wastes it all, and he gets hungry, right? We know about that one. And then we see another son who is jealous and bitter because he felt like he should be the favored son because he worked so hard. And so we see the younger son didn't love the father because he was selfish. We see the older son didn't love the father because he was self-righteous. And then we see the Son of God who's telling the story. And he's telling the story about these two sons for the purpose of illustrating the heart of his father. Right? It's important to understand that they call this the story of the prodigal son, but it's really the story of a loving father. That's what this whole story is about. It's about the father. It's not about learning what's wrong. It's learning who your real father is and how he loves. And as I began this morning, I had some things prepared for today, but the Lord really put on my heart to talk about this. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about the fathering anointing in the heart of a father. And I don't have points. I don't have numbered points per se. I just have some things I want to share from my heart. The church for so long was nothing more than a classroom. And it was just dead scripture. And we followed a far-off God who really didn't care one way or another what happened with our life and was waiting to banish us to hell if we didn't get things right. And then some people started getting a revelation that God could be involved in our life. And they came to the conclusion that since God can be involved in our life, he must be very upset because we're getting everything wrong. As if God expected us to do better on our own. Hebrews tells us that the entire law was there just to point out that we can't do things right on our own. So it's no surprise to the Father that we mess up without him. It wasn't shocking to him. It's not like he put us on the earth and said, oh my gosh, I really thought they'd do better. Wow, I just figured better, you know. He knew. That's why they call him God. So after we got that revelation, we got the revelation that when the Father's involved in our lives, things go better. So some people got that teaching, and they went a little far with it. And they said, well, if I'm a father and you're a spiritual child, I have to make sure you don't do anything wrong. And they related the spiritual father and the spiritual son or daughter as if it were the relationship between a father and a 2 or 3-year-old. But anybody who has a 2-year-old will readily tell you they don't want their child to stay 2. There's a man who's raised some kids. And let me tell you, if you have a 2 or 3 or 4-year-old, it gets better. All right? It gets better. Let that be a salve to your soul. It gets better. But the heart of a parent is not, you know, I'm going to wipe your butt the rest of your life. And I'm gonna yell at you when you do things wrong because I'm losing my mind. That's not the heart of a parent. The heart of a parent is, I want to teach you to do things better so you can do things on your own. This is what real spiritual parents are about. I have a strong feeling that God is going to be bringing prodigals back to the house. I just have a strong, strong feeling he's going to be bringing prodigals back. And it's important that we understand what to do when they get here. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about the fathering anointing, as we see in this parable. The Bible story starts off the first thing Jesus says is there was a father who had 2 sons. A true fathering anointing gives you a name and legitimizes you. My children have my name, Thomas. They have my identity. They have the DNA of my wife and I. They're not their own. They are, in fact, offspring of ours, and they carry what we were given. They carry the very essence that makes us up. They carry that last name. And as a father, it's important for me, and it's essential that I create a name that they actually want to carry. That's my responsibility. I have to create something that my son will want to carry and pass on. It's like a legacy. But at the same point when he was born, I gave him his own name. And I don't call him Carl's son. I call my son Isaac. He bears my name, but I legitimize his identity. He bears my name and he has my DNA and he even looks like me. But it's my job as a father to call forth his identity, encourage him in his giftings, not to be me, not to carry on my gift, my calling, and my anointing, but to walk in his gift, in his anointing, building upon what I have already established as a Thomas. I didn't inherit much of a name. Maybe you didn't inherit much of a name. Maybe your family name isn't that honored, isn't that great, isn't even something to respect. You have the power to change that. I got saved in my mid-20s, and there was nothing honorable about my name. And I just began to pray bold prayers that all those things will end in this generation. In this generation, I will pass on a whole different legacy to my children. And my name in this city will be different than the name of my family that I inherited. You have the ability to mark that name that you've been given. Good or bad. You have the ability to bring shame upon your family. You also have the ability to bring honor upon your family. And a father will recognize who you are and equip you to make that identity building in your life. Another thing a father does, fathers create families because fathers live for a time they will not see. Hustlers live for now. Hustlers live for what you can get right now. Hustlers have relationships that serve them. And it's important to work hard, to create wealth, to create a home and to get ahead. I get all that. But fathers live for a time they won't see. I'm not just teaching my son to make me happy. See, that's called being a narcissist, that this entire family revolves around my wife's and mine happiness. And if any of you had parents who are narcissists, you know your entire life had to revolve around them. That is not God's desire. Our desire is to equip our children to be mothers and fathers so that when they have children and grandchildren, there's a legacy that they're carrying on. I'm trying to launch my son into things that I'll never see the fruit of. And that's in the natural. In the spirit, in the spiritual, we'll say, and we'll bring it down to spiritual fathers, and there's spiritual fathers in this room, but I'm only going to talk for myself. It's my job and my anointing and my call to see you come into your call, to see you come into your gifting, to come into your identity as a child of Christ. It's not my job to tell you, serve me and God will bless you. Though I believe in serving leaders, there's a blessing in that. Absolutely. But there's also an ability to receive your own identity when you surrender your identity. Let's say my natural son from the day he was born didn't want to be called a Thomas. Well, that's a challenge for you, because who's going to feed you? Where are you going to live? Who's going to correct you? You can tell children who have not been corrected, because they lose their mind and they think it's okay. They act the fool in public and with no shame, right? The Bible says that you're legitimized through correction. And children who reject correction are called spoiled, right? And we say spoiled like means you get everything you want, but it's more like milk that's spoiled. When milk is spoiled, there ain't nothing funny about it. It's worthless. It's not useful for its purpose when it's spoiled. It's ruined. And Proverbs says, if you don't receive correction, you're spoiled. You're worthless. You're illegitimized. It's important that we have these relationships in our lives with spiritual fathers and also peers that we respect who will bring correction into our lives. I was having long conversations because I drove across the state and back in 2 days with Corey here, and we're ruminating on trends that we saw in people who didn't want to open their lives up to community. Because when you live in a community, you're going to have to give some things up. I mean, when you live in community, you're going to have to surrender some of your likes for the greater good of the people around you. It's like living in a house with two bathrooms. You don't always get to walk in the bathroom whenever you want. But that's part of what you give up, so you don't have to pay all the rent on your own. Does this make sense? I got to give up some stuff. I don't get to walk in the bathroom whenever I want. I don't get to stand in front of the fridge for half an hour because someone else is paying the bill. I don't have to pay the bill, and therefore I don't have to stock the fridge. You know, this is good. This is good. There's a trade-off in that. And some people want to isolate themselves because they decide that they want to be their own father. And what I find when you're your own father, you don't receive any correction. Because all you're doing is legitimizing yourself. And the Bible talks about people who bear witness of themselves. And it's not positive. Is this making sense? But fathers live for a time they won't see. I dream, I have life goals. I hope you do too. I have what some people call a bucket list. Your bucket list may be, spend money on stuff you can't afford and jump out of planes. Mine has things on it like I want to sit. Here's one item on my bucket list. I want to sit in the meeting on the front row of a church service in a church that's led by a man I put into ministry. That's on my bucket list. How are you going to do that? I don't know. But I'm working toward it. What's on your bucket list? Does it all surround you? I'm living for a day that I won't see. I'm living for a day I can't see. If I can get my son and my daughter to be righteous men and women of God, they're going to affect generations that I'll never be around for. It's going to carry this Thomas legacy on without me. Not for my glory, but it's going to glorify Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things are new. You understand that? Yesterday is gone. That's good news, man. I'll get to that in a second. Hope you're getting something out of this. Fathers are a source of provision. Fathers are a source of provision. See, the son knew this. He knew this. The prodigal knew that his father was a source of provision. He just wanted it now rather than later. And here's what's really interesting about this story. The son took half of what his father had. There was two sons. Each son got half. He took half and left with it. Right? Gone. And he's in this pig farm, and we've taught on this before. But if you look at the context of the story, Jews aren't allowed to be around pigs. They couldn't touch them. I mean, let alone eat them. They couldn't touch them. And here he was feeding pigs for a living. It's the only way he could eat was to feed something that was beneath him. Pride will take you places that you do not want to be. Pride will have you writing checks you can't cash. I recently learned that lesson when I wanted to show off playing kickball at the youth event. My pride was writing checks that I had to pay for the next week or so and pulled thigh muscles and Corey and I were around this weekend. We were around this guy who's a professional UFC fighter. And I know we look svelte and global competitor-ish. But at one point, this guy had him pray for me. And he put his hand on my stomach. And I'm like, trying to tense it a little bit. It's... He said, yeah, go. Because I met this guy in Brazil, and I asked him, you pray for me. He's like, oh, I met you in Brazil. I have this Brazilian guy come pray. And he grabs my head like a medicine ball. I'm like, good Lord, don't break it. I need that for tomorrow. And so he was talking about how we got to have our mind, soul, and spirit fit. And then, 10 minutes later, he's praying for me on my son. I'm like, no, it's all fit. It's right underneath there. It's well protected. It's not fat, it's grace. It's grace. It's grace. Tomorrow's provision today. The abundance, it's the more than enough. It's the fat of the land. I can live off of it. But here's this son who was so selfish and he was so stupid. Really, he was just stupid. Selfish and stupid. And that's what being inward focused does. It just makes you stupid. It makes you elevate your needs above everything else. And it even says in the scripture that while he was feeding these things, he came to his senses and he says, "Man, my father's servants eat better than this." He didn't come to repentance. He just came to hunger. Look at the scripture. He never did repent. He just came to hunger. And he said, "Man, my father's servants," because in his soul, in his DNA, in his spirit, man, he knew what fathers do. He knew fathers feed people. Where I'm at right here, nobody cares about me. That's what the scripture says. Nobody provides for me. But my father provides for people because his father was a father. And so he goes back to his father's house. And here's what I find interesting. The father had given away half his inheritance already, right? I mean, half of everything he owned. He gave it away. You come back, the farm's no different. It's all there still. Because fathers, hear me, fathers are the source of provision. It didn't say he was any more poor. It didn't say, you know, "Oh, there's my son, send me into the poorhouse." It's like, no, I still got a fatted calf. I still got coats laying around. I still got rings. I still got stuff to give away because I'm a father. I'm a source of provision. You see, the enemy works so hard to cut people off from fathers because that'll cut off their provision. It cuts off their provision. He wants to get them alone, wants to get them isolated, wants to get them just me, myself, and I. Oh, look, nobody's going to correct me now. Of course, there's no source of provision in their life. The enemy will trick you into leaving your father, leaving your father's house. Call it independence. Get you to curse your place of blessing. Think about it. People can't just leave the church and just say, "You know what? I really felt like God was taking me in another direction. We love them, bless them. I'm just not really, just God moved us. I don't know why. It's just time for me to move to another season." They go and it's so hard for people to do that. Why? It's the work of the enemy. And what do? They start cursing their place of blessing. They cut off the provision, the spiritual provision that was in their life. People leave and you run into them. You say, "Man, how are things going? I haven't seen you in a while. I haven't seen you around church, but you know, we still talk about you, pray for you and whatnot." Like, oh, things are good. Really? Seeing many miracles in your life? You seeing salvations? You seeing? No, I don't really do that anymore. You don't do that. What does that mean? I don't do that anymore. What does that mean? You're cut off from your vision. You're cut off from the provision for your life that God has given you. You see, when you come into the Father's house, you just get gifts that aren't even yours. You just get, I mean, let me give you an example, and I keep talking about my son, and forgive me, son, I hope it's all right, but every night my son goes to bed and there's air conditioning. He had nothing to do with that. He comes in the house and he gets cool. "Well, I don't want to be around my father." Well, then you're going to be warm. It's warm out there. There's no mosquitoes in his room because I've provided a home for him. I was out of town this week, and I was at this event, and in the event there was worship. It was kind of a small room, it was an intimate setting. Just an amazing worship leader, just so gifted, talented musicians. They were worshiping Jesus, and the presence of God was in the room. There was about, I don't know, 70 people there, more or less. We were all worshiping, and I'm walking around, and I'm like, what's off? What do I feel? What is this emotion, Father? And he's like, "You're on your own." I'm like, "What? What?" It's like, well, this place, they really emphasize the fact that they're not a church. What that means is you're on your own. Be in a room with people, but you're all alone. Elbow to elbow. Can't walk around without bumping into people, but it's just you. It's you and God, hallelujah, great, but it's just you. Nobody's here to take care of you. Nobody's here to look out for you. I didn't feel like I was being adopted into a family for a day. I felt like I'm with all the other single people right here just standing around, people who are alone. My wife kind of talked about that. She went to this Christian event, but there was no presence, which is slightly different. Fathers create families. Fathers create families and they adopt people in. When people talk about having an amazing father, when people have a natural father who's amazing, they say, "You know, I bring friends to my house," and they just felt so comfortable they didn't want to leave. People come over and they sit on our couch, and at some point that you have to ask them, can you go home, please, because I want to go to bed. Because people come in, they just feel welcomed into family. That's what the house of God is supposed to be, a family. It's a family where you bring people in and say, hey, listen, come on. I know life is hard. Life is difficult. You've been struggling. You've been fighting and scrapping, trying to get by. But come on in here. You're not on your own. You feel like you got to work all these things out on your own. But the Father says, come home. Come on in here. I got you covered. I'm going to hide you in the shadow of my wing. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, and my presence will pass before you. It's always the Father's desire. It's always the Father's desire to adopt you in and put you in community. My wife quoted this earlier. We put it on our wedding invitation. Father of the fatherless is our God. He brings a solitary into family. When we had our wedding invitation, we felt so adopted into the family of God. We just wanted our main goal for our wedding was to see how many people we can invite to the reception. We just had an open invitation. Who wants to come? Just let us know, because we got to have enough chairs. And we still had 10 people didn't reserve. We had to pull out a table the day of our wedding. Hey, listen, can I just say something here on that note? Can you RSVP? If your family don't RSVP to things, can you break the curse in the name of Jesus? I mean, we'll talk about showing up on time to things next week. But right now, can I tell you, on our wedding day, I'm going to say it, honey. On our wedding day, my wife gets a call that morning. Are you ready for this? You ready for this, Corey? We get a call that morning. Some people came from New York. They said, we're at the train station. Can you come get us? My wife's like, I'm getting dressed for a wedding, and you didn't RSVP. True story. Like, I'm getting dressed. I'm about to get in the limo. Come get you. No. You didn't know RSVP. Took the train down. Never mind. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, RSVP means something. Respond. S'il vous plaît. Good Lord. I'm so hood. Respond, people. Listen. Let me tell you. Don't ever curse your place of blessing. Don't curse your place of blessing. Your words have power. You get upset. Don't let the devil trick you into cursing your place of blessing. People want to call you up and gossip. No thanks. That's my provision comes through there. He ain't cursing my place of blessing. You can have honest conversations. We're not getting into this kind of controlling thing that says, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about gossip and bitterness, and let folks know, no, this, you got a wrong spirit happening right now. Let's pray. Come on over, I'll cast it out of you if you'd like. Fathers, welcome back the prodigals. You hear that? Fathers welcome back prodigals. Fathers don't bitterly hold on to the past. How many of you like the fact that when you're wrestling with something, God forgives you and starts talking to you positive things? How many of you like that? Does that happen to you? Like, you're struggling with sin, and you're like, man, I deserve to be cast out. And God's like, I love you. And you're like, no, you don't. You know what I did, God? Do you know what I did, God? He's like, yeah, I'm fairly aware. I'm like, God, what do you mean you love me? What? That's a good God, right? That's how fathers behave with people. We like the all things new for us. Don't like it as much for others. Like, I remember what you did. Like, really? You shouldn't. Right? Fathers, welcome back the prodigals. Fathers, receive people the way they want to be received. Don't be distracted for the man behind the... There's nothing beyond the veil there to see. It's a Wizard of Oz reference right there. I'm saying it wrong, but... Hear me. Fathers are such that they're so secure in themselves that they don't need you to behave a certain way for them to behave a certain way. Father God does not need you to be good so he can be loving. He's like, I am loving. You can behave however you want. I'm just going to stay loving. Y'all don't got to play back there. I'm okay. I'm done with scriptures. I'm good. They're working on the projector. But don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We appreciate your efforts, though. Amen? They work so hard back there. And just give it up for the tech team, if you would. They work hard. They wrestle with the lights. They wrestle with the projector. We just honor them and their efforts in the name of Jesus. Just bless them. Bless them. Somebody's engaged to the tech leader. But listen, fathers don't count your past against you. You hearing this? There's the tech leader over there. Look at him. There's a team emerging from beyond the veil. They've been behind the veil. Faces glowing. Are you getting anything, Lillian? You getting anything? Good? Okay, good. I feel we're in a season when prodigals are coming home. How are you going to behave when they get here? How will you behave when your loved ones who did you so wrong come back into your life? How will you behave when your relatives who did you dirt come back around? How will you behave when that girl who's gossiped about you so many times comes around to your face again? How are you going to behave? Are you going to allow her to dictate your behavior? Or are you going to behave in love? Fathers make themselves vulnerable to people they love. Fathers give opportunity for sons and daughters to do things that might make them look bad. Hear me, I want you to see this picture. Fathers don't say, I'll let you do this as long as it makes me look good. What they do is they say, I will put some of my honor on you to give you favor to try to do that. And when you mess up, it messes up my honor. However, I will extend that to you because I believe in you and I'm sending you forth. And if you mess up, come back. I have more honor to put on you and we'll try it again. That's how fathers behave. I'm just talking here. I hope you're getting something out of this. This is good stuff, I think. So we see that the son came home. And again, I know you've heard this story taught so many times. We see the son comes home, and the father, we've taught this before, gives the ring and, you know, the jacket and all that stuff. We get that. He legitimizes him, brings him back home. And then we see him talking to the other son, right? And we'll jump to, like, Luke 16. We'll start with, like, verse 30, 29. He says, he said to his father, look, for so many years I've been serving you, and I've never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, you see how the older son has he's got that spirit of divorce on him? This son of yours, this independent spirit, he won't even identify with him. This son of yours came who devoured your wealth with prostitutes. You killed the fatted calf for him. Verse 31. And he said to him, son. Now listen, here's a boy in sin right now. This older brother is in sin. What's the first thing the father says to him? Son. A real father said, I'm not cutting off the relationship just because you've fallen. There's a big name minister in South Florida who's kind of stumbled on some hard times. Made some bad decisions. You know what my first reaction was? I did a Facebook post honoring him. I won't divorce the man. Good Lord, don't cut me off if I stumble, please. How about you love me back to restoration? I honor everything that man did. South Florida's changed because of him. I just said, we honor you. Thank you for your ministry. You know, work this thing out, but good Lord, come on. You're the same man you were a week ago, except now you're cleaner because it's confessed. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Amen. So the father says to him, not you wicked, stupid idiot. No, he says, son. He affirms the relationship. Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. Look at this. First thing he did was legitimize him, right? Built a bridge. But he didn't stay there. But, say but. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. Fathers, they love and then they correct. Fathers love and then they correct. You see, real fathers bring correction through the atmosphere of love and legitimacy. Real fathers don't say, if you change, then I will love you. You are away from me because of your behavior. If only you straighten yourself out, then I'll allow you to come into my presence and I'll show you love. But if you don't, I'm going to act like I don't know you. That's not what a father does. That's what the older brother does. The church today is filled with men who are supposed to be fathers but are nothing but older brothers. Judging. Are you as holy and as righteous as I am? And if you're as holy and as righteous as I think I am, then I will allow you to get into my orbit. But if you fall away, I'm going to act like I never knew you because you did not serve the purposes that I thought were important. That's not a fathering spirit. That's the older brother, the jealous, insecure, comparing other people, pointing out faults before they show love. This son of yours, like he's not even your brother, and you think you can bring correction to him? You're in no place to bring correction. Listen, the person you're pointing fingers at, you have no avenue of correction. Correction comes through love. You can only correct people to the degree they know you love them. And if they do not think you love them, keep it in your mouth. Release it in your prayer closet. But the chances are, if you're that bitter, you probably don't have one. Because if you spend time with the real Father, the Father in heaven, this Father of love, this Father of lights, who sent his Son to die on a cross for sinners, when you spend time with him, your heart gets molded into his heart, and what's important to him becomes important to you, and you become soft to people who aren't walking in their identity, and you no longer point the finger, but you cry out to God, restore them, Jesus. Restore them, Jesus. You start seeing that the father is longing for a relationship with these people. Here's this father who's so excited about his son coming home. And he comes to his other son and says, listen, look, what do you mean you're not happy about it? You say you served me all these years and yet you're not rejoicing with me. Who are you? Who are you? Jesus, he tells his stories, telling about his father who has such a heart for reconciliation. Don't listen to false prophets who tell you how God is looking for ways to kill you. Don't listen to them. Don't. It's not reflected in the fact that the Father sent his Son to die for you. I mean, why would he make a way? It's the whole story of Jonah. Jonah said, what do you mean go prophesy to these people? If I prophesy to these people, they're going to repent. And they'll be restored and I'll look like an idiot. Jonah knew the heart of the Father. He knew the heart of the Father. They said, you want a sign? We'll give you the sign of Jonah. Not a coincidence. It's the heart of the Father. I'll give you the sign. Listen, we're going to bring the word, and people are going to repent and come back into relationship. It's going to hold back the hand of judgment. I think I stole that from Sam, didn't I? Who was that? Yeah, that was Sam. Good word, Sam. Next time, no attribution. Psalm 23 is interesting, and I've heard it. I'm almost done, so I'm, you know, I appreciate that. She said it, people. I've heard Psalm 23 preached so differently. It says, 23:5 says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Now, I have always heard that preached that God is going to show favor on you and your enemies are going to be jealous because you're getting favor. Like, look at God. You got all your enemies around you and God's going to give you a feast in the midst of it. Like, oh, praise God, hallelujah. But what if God prepares a feast in the midst of your enemies because he wants them to come to the table? Come on. Woo! I mean, right? Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 5? He says, if you're presenting your offering at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there at the altar and go be reconciled. It's like, man, I'm bringing you to my banqueting table and I want everybody coming with you. Let's start with the people who hate you. Let's start with them, because that's the heart of a father. The father doesn't want you to be afflicted by your enemies. But beyond him wanting to hold them off, he wants to bring them close. Remember what I started this with. The enemy wants to sow discord in relationships. If you have a hard time understanding that, just get married. Things are hot and heavy when you're dating, and you get married, and something happened. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There is a reason they say the honeymoon is over. At the honeymoon, it's all about extracurricular activities, eating too much, and fellowship. And then you get back to life, and all of a sudden, little things that were cute one day, all of a sudden are very, very annoying. That cute little thing you do with your mouth, why do you do that? All of a sudden, they're not as cute. Why? Why is that? Because the devil hates covenant. He hates it. He absolutely hates it. That's why he wanted to make Adam sin in the garden. He hates it. He wants to separate you from your spiritual family. He wants to separate you from the family of God. He wants to cut you off because he knows that's where your place of blessing is. Hear me. I'm not talking Revival Life Church, right? There's a lot of wonderful churches in this city, let alone in this state and in the world. I'm talking about cutting you off from your place of blessing, cutting you off from your spiritual family, cutting you off from your wife or your husband or from your children. Okay, I'm going to end with this, mostly. The Jews have a history that at 13, their children are bar mitzvahed, right? They become adults in Jewish lore. They become adults. Now, you might think, because that's when kids get very difficult. We just cut them off at 13. All right, you're an adult now. Go figure it out. But that's not it. I want you to hear this. This is the Holy Ghost. I want you to hear this. And 13 is when you most want to separate yourself from... Anybody remember middle school? Yeah, my son remembers it. That's awesome. Anybody remember middle school as not being a great time? Imagine what it was like for your parents. As you're struggling with things and you're blaming them for it, right? It's the natural reaction to cut you off. Go away. But in the midst of that time period, the Jews say, this one's mine. I'm identifying with this obnoxious person. It's a completely different mind frame. I'm identifying with this person. I'm putting my honor on them. Not waiting for them to bring me honor. Because I'm a father. This is my beloved in whom I'm well pleased. Are you with me? This is the spirit of the Father. This is the spirit we want in this house. To grow. This is why we do what we do. This is why we don't just look at people's talents and give them a ministry position. Because before anything, it's about relationship. I look all through the Bible and all I see is relationship. The Father didn't send his prophet, he sent his son. He didn't call us servants, he calls us the beloved. It's different. What we do is different. Who we represent is different. What we're supposed to be is different. If you're here today and you feel alone, I want to welcome you home. Come on, yeah. I want to welcome you home. Time forbids me to give testimony after testimony of people who came here alone or are now adopted into the family. If you're looking to be alone, you're at the wrong church. If you're looking to hide, you're in the wrong church. We're going to expect you to be family. We're going to expect you to be in our lives and fellowship and live life together. It's who we are. Some people don't like that. This doesn't work out so well for them. I want to pray now. First, I want to pray for the men of this house. Would you all stand, the men of this house? And let me make this clear. You were born one or the other. God was not confused when he made you. And whatever you were born for, God created you to be with the other. Parts is parts. Jesus, put your hand on your heart if you would. And ladies, if you would stretch your hand, we're going to pray for you in a moment, but don't touch him, just stretch your hand. There's moms in here. Oh, I'm just going to rub his back. No, don't. Just don't. And I'm talking mothers of all age. Oh, I'm just going to rub his back. No, leave him alone. Ladies, he can't be a man as long as you mommy him. Either you mommy him or he's a man, one or the other. Father, we need fathers in this house. We need fathers who are just like you. Father, do it in me. But give them a heart to cover. Give them a heart to legitimize. Give them a heart to bless. Give them a heart to welcome home. Give them a heart after righteousness. Father, we ask for a generation of kingdom men who seek you, Father, who don't live out of selfish ambition, who don't live guarding their provision as an identity maker. But they live for your well done, good and faithful. They live for a generation they'll never see. Father, they live to bring you glory. They live to receive your glory and spread it to people who don't know you. They live to receive your blessing and freely give it to people who never met you. They live to put their honor on other people, that other people may know what it's like to live in honor. Father, kingdom men. Kingdom men, Father. Kingdom men. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Fellas, go ahead and sit down. Yeah, give it up. God, you're going to do it. Now, ladies, if you would stand. Now, I believe there's a fathering anointing, and I believe there's a specific anointing that men will walk in, but the fathering anointing is not necessarily a male thing. It doesn't just mean, okay, I'm a woman, therefore I get to stay bitter and not lift people up. Does this make sense? So I would challenge you as well to seek to release people, to empower people, to legitimize people, to bring the lost in. So fellas, if you'll stretch your hand and just declare blessings upon these women. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the spiritual mothers in this house, Father. We thank you for the mothers of this house. Mothers who live for a generation they'll never see. Who will toil in labor to make a way for those who come behind them, Father. Those who will show the way of honor. Sheba. Reba. Saraba kande. Shedaba. Lerere ke. Taraba reba. Ndura baha reba ka terere. Right now, the Lord is pouring out an anointing on. There's a handful of women in this room right now. The Lord is pouring out an anointing for being an elder to adopt in women. Oh my gosh, I see it so strong in the Spirit. He is burning in your heart right now. There is a blazing call to adopt women into your house, to gather them around your table. This is not an age thing. This is a spiritual call. This is a gifting. There is a fire burning in some of your hearts right now. Respond to the call of God. You may say, man, Father, this can't be me you're talking about. That equips you. That qualifies you right now. That humility qualifies you. And if you're saying, I'm not feeling anything, well, that might give an indicator of where your heart is at, and it's time to humble yourself before the Lord that He can exalt you. But right now, that you would burn it in Jesus. That you would burn it in Jesus. You would burden them. Burden them for the young women. That they would look at young women and say, there is the inheritance of the Father. I will not let it be squandered. Wow, there's fire in my hands right now. But Father, for all the women in this house, that they would seek the lost. And they would bring them into the household of God. That they would see them as lost children without a father. Sheep without a shepherd. Fending for themselves out there in the world. That they would, you would strengthen their shoulders to bear burdens for the weak, Father. And give them insight into the spiritual lives of those who don't know you. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen and amen. Amen. Yeah, give a shout to God. All right. If I could have everybody stand, and we're going to close out. Sorry, you sat down, stand up. Feel like Catholic, right? I'm feeling Catholic. Sit, stand, kneel. Sit, stand, kneel. Come on up, Mike. You guys okay? Feeling okay? We are going to pray for some people here at the altar. Yeah? All right. Corey, if you come on up. And Pastor Tracy, of course, if you'll come up. And Diane, if you'll come up. Sam, if you and your wife will come on over there. We're going to pray. If you have any sickness in your body, we want to pray for you today. But before we do that, if come on up here. You rock. Yeah. You stay with your husband? You rock. Ron, you here? Are you at Next Steps? No, you're at Next Steps. Here's how we do this. We have an altar call, and then Ron catches you if you try to sneak out. He's batting cleanup. That's what that looks like right there. Like, I'm going to skip out. Ron's right there. I got a son right in the lobby. There's no escaping the anointing. Ron will smile at you. How you doing? It's just getting on you. No escaping. No escaping, honey. Listen, if you're not right with God, you're like, man, I need to be adopted in. I tell you what, I feel like there's going to something happen next week. And if I had a bigger ego, or maybe if I was smarter, I would wait till next week and then have a big altar call and look cool. But that's not really my goal. I just want to get you right with God. You don't have this flow of life. You need it, right? So in a moment, my hands are burning, so I know there's at least a few of you in here. At least a few. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Come on up here if you would. Yeah. My wife gave me a mint. Isn't that awesome? So I'm going to pray for some of you, and I don't want to offend you. I'm letting the Holy Ghost do something right now. It tastes like anointing oil for some reason. Feel that? That's the anointing moving in their house right now. And some of you are getting a little sad right now. Some of you are getting sad because you've not been adopted into the family. I grew up in kind of a messed up family. And love my mom, I honor her. It was messed up. And I had a friend who had a great family. And one weekend he took me to his family. And they were making sandwiches and stuff. And I was just like, pardon my language, I was like, man, my family sucks. I was like, why don't I live like this? What? It just made me sad to see it. It didn't encourage me at all. It just made me sad. And some of you are hearing about this and you're sad. The difference is, it's adoption day. Today's the day you get your forever family. Today's the day. Oh yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. I got you. I have some of my sons and daughters right here, and they're specially anointed to adopt you into the family. Come on over here, Lillian. Lillian, come on, line up here for these people. We're going to adopt you into the family. You guys ready to receive your brothers and sisters? They're not like the older brother though. They're going to be happy because they carry the anointing of their father. Amen. So if you're in this room and you feel like, you know what? This is me, man. I need to be adopted into the family. I need to be adopted into the family. Maybe you don't know Father God. Maybe you've not experienced His love, and you need to get adopted into that family. Come on. I welcome you to come forward right now and just come receive that adoption. Maybe you're like, I've been church hopping, and I need a church family. Come on. Come forward and just be adopted in. Come on. Come on. It's forever family day, Mike. It's forever family day, Mike. Brandon, can you come take over this keyboard right here? And Mike, I want you to come down with your wife there and welcome some brothers and sisters. Come on. Come on. There's more than this. Come on. There's more than this. Look at your neighbor and say, orphan much? Orphan much? Come on. It's adoption day. And you're alone, and God wants to put you in a family today. Ask Him. Orphan much? Mm. And today's your day. You're going to come into the Father's family, or you're just going to come into the family of God. You're just going to say, you know what? Today's my day. This is my church. I have a church family. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to allow offense and bitterness to run my life any longer. I'm going to wait for a second. Believers, pray in the Holy Ghost. We're going to break something right now. Father, come. Knit hearts.
Check.
Knit hearts. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost.
Check.
You say, I don't have a father in my life. I need it.
Father God loves you. Daddy God loves you. And He has great plans for your life. And He doesn't call you to do anything alone. He doesn't call you to do anything alone. And any heavy burdens that you've been carrying by yourself, or things that are good that you've been rejoicing by yourself, you don't have to do it alone anymore. Because God provides family. And family is loving, and family is forgiving, and family includes you. God created us to be in community.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you may have identified with this son who ran off and trying to get his own thing, or this son who gets bitter when other people are doing better. And you say, how come they're doing better, but I'm not? Why is everybody else getting blessed, but I'm not? That's the older brother's spirit. And Father wants to make you a son or a daughter. There's some of you who just, it's hard to hope right now. And I feel your heart pounding. I feel it. I feel your heart pounding. And you're beginning to sweat. And this is the enemy telling you, don't do it. You can't trust. But I tell you, your Father is here. And He's welcoming you home. He's welcoming you home. I see Him standing with His arms wide open, waiting for you to respond. I want you to ask your neighbor, do you need to go up there? I'll go up with you. Come on, ask him. This is adoption day. Come on. Come on, there's another. Who else? I'll go with you. Come on, I'll go with you. Are you asking your neighbor? I'll go with you. Do you need to go up there, honey? I'll go with you. Good.
And I think there may be some people in this house who once became a part of the family, and then kind of stepped away.
Homecoming.
It's homecoming. Welcome home.
Go ahead. Come on. Free hugs. Free hugs. Free hugs. Free hugs. Oh, free hugs. Come here, son. Hug me. I didn't get a free hug. We're huggers. We're shaking you down because the Father wants to show some love to some people right now. We're not shaking you down for an offering. We're not looking for numbers. We're giving out love. Ron, make sure they don't escape without a hug. Some people scared of hugs. Don't let them run. Thank you, Father, for your sons and daughters you're bringing out of the storm. You're bringing them out of the storm, out of the mess of life that they created, living with the pigs, and you're bringing them home, Father. You're bringing them home, Father. Unconditional love. They say, I didn't do anything to earn this, and that's exactly it. It's free, but it's still real. Free hugs, Lillian. Free hugs, Lillian. It's free hug day. Tell your neighbor it's free hug day. And if you're not trying to get with them, give them a free hug. Let's keep it holy. Bless you. If you have to leave and you know you hear the fried chicken calling you, Father, don't smite them because they love fried chicken more than you. Okay, that's a joke. Stay your hand, Lord. Now, but Father, that you would bless them, that you would bring in their path today, this week, people who need to know your love, who need to be brought into the family. You'll bring them to the family of God this Easter, Father. Resurrection life, Jesus. There are free hugs still available at the altar.